everybody. Welcome back to Navigating Motherhood. I have Hannah Johnson here. Hannah, say hey.
Hi.
We connected at the Mattoon Library for story time. We've seen each other a few times. And then a friend of ours actually connected us on the podcast level, because Hannah has a really important thing to share with other moms who have to go through things like this. So Hannah, why don't you just start with telling us a little bit about yourself and why you came on to talk today?
Yes, I grew up in the Effingham area, so I'm not local to Mattoon Charleston, but I married a man from Charleston. Jared is his name. Anyway, we got married in 2017, lived in a small apartment for a very short period of time, and then we moved to a house. And we knew we wanted to have lots of kids. We did not know how many, but we were just, that was laid on my heart whenever I was little. Like, I want lots of kids. Let's see what happens. So in 2019, we had a daughter, Rosalie, and then things were great. Her whole pregnancy was beautiful. Labor was 5 hours beginning to end. It was great.
Wow.
And we, for our first, I was almost upset that it was so short.
Wow, I never think anybody would ever say that, but I mean, I get where you're coming from for sure.
Right. So everything was great. We enjoyed her. Oh, she is such a joy. We love her. Aww. She's great. And then we found out we were pregnant not even 9 months later, I don't think, because there would be 18 months in between Rosalie and this next baby, if that. So we were a little nervous, and we found out it was a boy. And I was like, I grew up with four sisters. I know nothing about a boy. I know nothing. So that was very intimidating. We found out, I think in October, I don't remember the exact date, but he was supposed to be due in September or late August. And my birthday's in August. And I was like, oh man, I could share a birthday with this baby. That would be,
yes.
It would be so odd. And so everything was going according to plan. And mind you, this is in 2020 during COVID. So nobody sees a doctor. Nobody, you know,
right.
Unless
yep.
absolutely necessary, everyone's very fearful. And it was so, it seemed so scary to be pregnant during that time. Yeah. Looking back like, oh man, there should have been so many more doctor's visits. But because of the heightened fear, and I totally understand now, like that was scary. But I think our care could have been different. And that's hard to look back from this point. So at 20 or 18 weeks, we had an ultrasound. We were told by a phone call. I had heard that most women get pulled into the office for these kind of things. For a phone call, we were told that we had placenta previa. So I, of course, am on Google freaking out. What does this mean for us? And I still don't technically understand what placenta previa is. All I understand is that it just covers your cervix, your placenta does. Anyway, turns out it can move. If it moves, you bleed. And that's a positive thing. One night in April, there was some bleeding. And so we went to the emergency room just to make sure things were okay. Yeah. And we were 24 weeks, or probably earlier than that, and things were okay. They said, oh, it's moving up. So you're in the clear. It's starting to move. And I said, oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We had an ultrasound at 26 weeks, and that's the last ultrasound I do have. And everything seemed okay at that point. Fast forward to June. One night I had lots of bleeding and I was like, oh, it's moving. We're okay. And I about went back to bed, but I called the emergency room or the second floor department. I said, hey, this is happening and I'm nervous. Like, this is a lot more than last time. And they're like, well, it'll be okay. Just keep an eye on it. Well, it was not okay. We quickly got up. I got my husband up and I had gotten dressed and I had got myself ready, and I did not pack a bag or anything because I was like, oh, it'll be okay. We're going to come home. And that was about midnight. And we had our daughter with us, of course. So my in-laws met us at the hospital.
Yeah.
We quickly went because I knew he was coming. I actually told my husband on the way there. I said, he's coming like today. And I don't know. We are big believers that everything happens for a reason. The Lord is so close in every
Yep.
situation. And that was hard. That was insanely hard to be like, oh yeah, he's gonna be okay. We're like, he's coming today, but it's gonna be okay because
Oh,
Carl's
right.
coming. Like, Carl has to come. They've got to come. They've got to take this baby. And we got to the hospital, and my sweet husband dropped me off at the door, and it's 12:30 at this point, okay? So there is blood all over our seats there in our sweet little car, and this, I think it's God's planning is just, and his timing is beautiful. There just so happened to be a nurse with a wheelchair at the door dropping someone off at a vehicle. And I stood out of the vehicle and she said, "You need help now, don't you?" And I said, "I mean, there was blood everywhere. Bless my mother-in-law and my mother who cleaned out the car that weekend because it looked awful. And I can't
Yeah.
imagine. I did not see it, thankfully.
Yeah.
But that sweet nurse took me up to the second floor. Those nurses were so quick and so patient. And I don't remember a lot of it because whenever we got to the OR, we had some nurse friends that were there and they were scrubbing him fast. And all I remember is a doctor telling me, "Hey, we're going to take this baby now." And I don't remember a lot. I just remember it being very fast and scary. That's all I
Yeah.
remember. My sweet husband had to sit in the waiting room all by himself. Could not come into the C-section at all. Did not know any updates. Was told at one point, "Your wife is not going to make it."
Oh my
Like
gosh.
just no one to sit there with him. Which I just
Oh
bless his
man.
heart. Bless his heart. That
Yeah.
must be the scariest thing to ever
Oh
walk
yeah.
through.
100%.
And so, of course, like we're calling family because it's 12:30, like 1 a.m. almost in the morning, and we're like, "Okay, we are doing this by ourselves. Like we've never had anything traumatic happen to us in our lives. Like,
Yeah.
what do we even do?"
Wait, time out. So how far along were you when this was happening?
We are 28 weeks.
28 weeks. Okay.
So there's so many studies. 28 weeks, viability is there, but it's not perfect. Like for a little boy,
Yeah.
this is hard. This is not
Yeah.
an easy week. So boys' lungs are not great compared to girls at that point.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I've read. I'm not a medical expert. Please don't take my
Yep.
advice.
No, right.
So lo and behold, we had a nurse in there that we knew, and she's a good praying woman. And I remember her telling me that these doctors that were in the room, these nurses were praying over me. Like, let her come out of this OR because I was not supposed to. I lost, what they say, like 8 liters of blood. Like
Wow.
that's not, I mean, that's not a big number, but it's not a small number either. And all things considered, it was hard. I remember waking up. They woke me up really fast. We had no time for a spinal, no time for nothing. So I woke up
Oh
in an
my.
extreme amount of pain. Lots of
Yeah.
pain. Do not recommend. But if it happens, it happens. Emergency C-section happened. We were told by this godforsaken doctor, who I don't know why pediatric doctors never have a good side bed manner or good bedside manner, but they never do. So he was born at 1 a.m., weighing 2 pounds, 1 ounce, and 14 inches long.
Oh.
Itty bitty thing. I mean, so
Mm-hmm.
tiny, so precious. I mean, I think I could fit two of his legs in my wedding ring. Like just itty bitty, teeny tiny little guy. We were told by the doctor, like, oh, he's breathing on his, like, at one point, my husband's told that he's breathing on his own. So we are ecstatic because, like, it was, I mean, there are so many possibilities with the 28-weeker. Like, they could make it, they could not, they could, you know, partially, they'd do fine. And by this doctor, we were told, like, if he does survive, he'll be in a wheelchair, he'll need a trick, he'll need all these things. Like, he will not have a sustainable life. And I was like, okay, get this doctor out of here. Like, I'm halfway out of anesthesia, and I'm like, I want out. Like, get him out of here. He has no room to be in here. Like, we are just barely figuring it out.
Like, literally trying to recover yourself, and the last thing you want to hear is that your baby, if they survive, is going to have a hard life. Like, that's not what you want to hear right now at all.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, any mother. I mean, so we were wheeled back into the OR where they were working on Tobin. We were told, like, Carl had arrived as soon as possible. They did not call them ahead of time, so, like, they weren't standing on standby or anything. So in that OR, we had to make impossible choices. Impossible decisions, I should say. They did not give us a lot of hope. They did not, you know, because that he was born at a small hospital. There was no NICU. There was no proper care for him, which is seriously so unfortunate. But I believe, too, like, we sat in that OR, and I told my husband he was going to be okay. Like, that this baby was going to be okay. Okay to us is living with us, living a full life. And so I can't tell you what time he passed. I don't remember. But we do have a death certificate for him, and that's hard. That's horribly hard. Because you don't expect to bury a child. You expect your children to bury you. But it's such a beautiful thing looking back. Before we knew it was a boy, I loved the name Tobin. And I was like, it means God is good. And we did not know about placenta previa yet. We did not know what was going to take place. And when that did take place, I was like, I really want to still name him that. I loved it. It was beautiful to me.
I agree.
And I think it's beautiful in the sense that he's been so good since those 4 years. It'll be 4 years in June. There's just so much beauty in it. At the time, my husband did not enjoy going to a church that we were going to. At that time, we just felt defeated in some ways. And I was like, man, is this all? Like, I always got jealous of people's testimonials. Like, oh man, God brought me out of this. God did this for me. Like, I was baptized at this age. And I'm like, man, I've never had anything like that. Like, that's so neat. Like, the Lord brought you out of this. And I'm like, wow, I've never, you know, I've always grown up in church and all these things. And through that, we found a pastor. We went through 7 pastors, and this one pastor said, yes, we now attend that church. And they have just grown us in so many ways. And if I would have, like, when we said our vows, if we would have, like, if the Lord would have said, here's what's going to happen in your marriage, I probably would have ran away screaming no. Just because in 3 years of marriage, the last thing you want is to bury your child. So just some hard things. But now I look back and I'm like, oh, there was so much beauty in that. Like, the Lord did this, gave us Tobin to find these friends and then leave that for a season and leave this church for a season and go to a new one. And there's just so many things that are so neat. That's not to say that there were horribly dark days. My sweet sister would come watch Rosalie almost every day that summer because I was pulling myself out of bed, but that doesn't mean I could take care of Rosalie. That doesn't mean that every day was perfect and beautiful, that I could make dinner. We had so many people bring us dinner, which was a blessing. And I will say too, like, looking back now, the things that I would want is someone just to sit and listen and drink coffee with me. Just sit and listen. I don't need, oh, it'll get better someday. No, actually, it
No.
won't. There's so much to that too, like words. The week. So he was born on a Wednesday. That Sunday was Father's Day. So we came home Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I've never gotten my husband's perspective on it, and I don't know. But I know that that was the worst Father's Day we've ever had.
Oh.
The absolute worst. And like, how do you cheer him up and be like, oh, it's gonna be okay, let's go out for lunch? Like, there was none of
Right.
that.
Right. How do you celebrate? How do you celebrate, you know?
Exactly. So that next so then the next week, Wednesday, we actually had a funeral for him. It was outside. It was not at a church. I mean, I wanted it at a church, but they're like, no, they're usually like burial side. Anyway, that was a little bit like, if I would change things, obviously you don't want to.
That's why. Why they.
I don't know. I don't really know the reason. If it's just easier for people, I'm not really sure why the reasoning was to that. But I remember not wanting to go. Like, I mean, who wants to go, first of all?
No.
But we had invited, I don't even know how many people. So many people showed up. There probably was 40 people. Just to show up. And I was so thankful because when you're in the midst of something, you almost need someone to hold you upwards, hold you upright. So I was so beautifully, there was so much beautifulness in that. The people did show up because they could have been like, that's too hard for us when we were walking in the hard.
Like too hard for you. Imagine the mom and the dad and
Right.
the little sister who doesn't really understand.
Which I was thankful for that. I will say that I was very thankful for that because that's scary for a little girl. That's scary for anybody. I remember also sitting down at the funeral home, picking out colors of caskets. My beautiful husband and his aunt did that for me because I had to walk out. And he was so good and gracious during that time. Like, just whatever I needed, he was right there. And that was such a beautiful season too. Like, he took the anger that I had. He did it beautifully. He was like, okay, this is awful. And there were so many things, like before we got home, he's like, let's remove this from the home. Like, let's make sure she is as safe as possible. We were gonna do a nursery, and they hid every baby thing. There was nothing in my sight whenever I got home. No crib, nothing. Which I'm so beautiful. That was something else that I was so thankful for, that I did not have to come home to see empty things. But at his funeral, I wanted it is well played and a good father. Okay, so
Good songs.
it is well as very popular at funerals. I don't, and it's beautiful, but and good father, I believed it. Like, no matter what, this baby that we had, and I think it was partially because I was so unaware of how hard this was going to be. Like, we were only a week in, and I was like, oh, it was kind of hard because we didn't bring home a baby. Like, you went through all that awful C-section kind of stuff. And that was hard. That was really yucky. But through all that, I played it as well a lot throughout our house. Now, to this day, I can't hardly sing it, even at church or anything, just because it takes me back to that funeral where everyone is sobbing and just. I remember not crying because I had cried so much that I was like, I don't think I have a single tear left in me. And to know that those nurses like cried with us, that there's so much to their stories. We then, 3 years later, or 2.5 years, kind of, We had Ezra, and some of the same nurses were there with Tobin. So it was a beautiful full circle kind of thing. Ezra is everything that I would have dreamed of in a baby after a loss. Not to say that Rosalie is not, because Rosalie is just joy and wonderful. And in that season, she was our ground holder kind of person. Like, she held us to the ground and was like, you have to stay married. You have to stay here for me, because this is what I need. I need two parents still. I need some structure. I need all these things. So she was our, like, we have to stay here. Like, because there were so many days that I was like, you know what? Going to see Tobin doesn't sound too bad. Like, it was hard. And that's not to say, like, you know, I ever had a plan to that. But, like, just to know that this world is not perfect. And it's not going to be easy. That grief walk is not going to be easy.
And I don't think that anybody would even fault you for having that thought at all.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
But I think it's hard to admit now, because I see the beauty in all of it.
Yes.
There were so many seasons of dark, and I still feel them. Like, we're coming up on my fourth birthday. And, you know, it's just such a, it's beauty and hard all at the same time. Like, I had no idea that the Lord could intertwine grief and joy so well. After Ezra, we quickly fell pregnant with John Moses, and he was supposed to be born July 22nd. Lo and behold, he came June 16th. And let me tell you, he was also an emergency C-section, and I was not prepared for that. He was breached, and I was like, nope, we're not doing it. I can't do it the day before we lost Tobin. I absolutely cannot. And that was beautiful, and grace. And because I sat in the hospital the next day for Tobin's birthday, and I was like, Lord, I told you this is not what I wanted. I did not want a baby born near Tobin's birthday.
Yeah.
And he changed my mind. And the neatest part is that this Father's Day, we get to celebrate a first birthday. And that is completely not on me. That is not on me. That is only on God. And he will get all the glory for every baby he will ever give us. And he will get it for Tobin, too.
Yeah.
Because
I'm getting emotional. Wow. Yeah.
I never wanted this testimony. And I will tell you, too, that I prayed for my husband to go to church and enjoy church and love the Lord in the deepest ways. And did I want us to lose a baby out of that? No. And I don't think that was his idea. Like, I think that was not, the Lord has everything planned.
Yes.
Like, I am not in control. If I know anything anymore, I am not in control. But whenever I was praying that my husband would love to go to church, this is not what I had in mind. But the Lord has blown my head off in the sense, like, he has perfected everything in our story. Now, we do not have a perfect marriage, but, you know, I think that is, I don't think anybody does, first of all. No one does.
Like, everybody has their struggles and issues. Yeah.
Right. But to work beauty out of that, and we will be married 7 years this summer. And the statistics of that, too, of losing a child and staying married and committing to marriage still.
Yes.
It's impossible. It's hard.
Yes.
No matter how you lose your child. Like, it's hard. And maybe in 10 years, you can ask me again how that goes. I don't know. But it's hard, and you have to say, yeah, let's stay together, even though we are so broken, and we are, there's no true healing to it until we're to eternity, so.
Right, but you guys, instead of, like, separating and dealing with this grief alone in your own ways, which I'm sure you have, but what I mean is, like, you've really just had to lean on each other. And you used each other as husband and wife to get through it. Yeah. I mean, I can just tell by your story right now. How, you know, he was strong at the beginning and then you were strong for Father's Day. And it's like you guys did it together. And that's why you guys are working.
And it's still hard. There are days where I am flat out angry. And there were lots of days that I was angry, but he took it and he was willing to take it. And I am so thankful for that. Yeah. Because, goodness sakes, there was that doctor that I was not going to forgive, because what if he could have done something else?
Yeah.
And that was something hard to walk through too, is just forgiveness, forgiving myself and being like, it's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
That is impossible. That is something that is impossible.
You're probably still working on forgiving yourself.
Oh,
yeah. I would imagine. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And even just walking through motherhood now, reminding myself, like, we have two other babies now, but to imagine what it would look like if we had Tobin. Like, what would this look like? What is Christmas? You know, like, there's always something. Yeah. Something we did this last Christmas was buy gifts for a 3-year-old boy. Do not recommend, because I just wept at the idea that, like, I should be buying these gifts.
Yeah.
But it was also something like, okay, so this is what a 3-year-old boy would love.
It's keeping the memory of him alive.
Right. And there were so many things that people had good intentions in saying, but they were not good intentions. Someone asked for his clothes. Like, I had clothes saved for a boy. And they were like, oh, since you're not using those, can I have them? And I was like, no, you may not. Like, that is just not even, and it was a while. It was a while after it was said. But, you know, just, like, heartbreaking. Because, like, obviously this person was not walking through the same situation. Like, it was, but I was so full of grace. And I was like, actually, we're going to keep those. Thank you. Like, just because we have no idea what the Lord has in store.
But wow, that's like kind of crazy. That's kind of like,
it was crazy.
I would never in a thousand years. No. Oh my gosh. That like boils my blood right now. It's just the not being thoughtful, you know, not thinking about like
any boundaries. No boundaries.
Yeah. No boundaries. Wow.
So, and like, we had several people, we picked out a headstone about 2-3 years ago. About 2.5 years ago. But that was hard, because that's the last earthly thing I get to do for him. And that was something that I wrestled with it for a very, very long time. And we finally picked one out, because I looked at him daily. I was like, I don't want to do this yet. I don't want to do this yet. And I would say too, like, never pressure a parent to do that. You know what I mean? Like, just don't, because there's so much heaviness already with grief that it's about like the last thing you want to do. And you kind of want to treasure that idea that there's more that you can do for them.
So you didn't have to do a headstone right away?
We took about 2 years.
Okay. Did they mark his grave with something different?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And we would put decorations at his grave and stuff. I will say too that I haven't been there in a while, because I know that's not where he is. And that's taken a long time too, to realize, like, you don't have to show up there. You're not, like, he's not there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a casket there, but he's already with Jesus. Like, there's nothing, I shouldn't say there's no point in going, but there's nothing.
It would be for you as a person, and not like, don't feel like you have to do it for your child or for your mom or for your dad, because they're not going to know you were there. Like,
Correct. Yeah.
That would be more of a healing thing personally. And if you feel like you don't need that for you to heal in certain ways, then why would anyone judge you differently?
Correct.
Like, it's how you need to heal and deal. Yeah.
Right. Because grief is such an awful thing in the sense everyone's so different.
Yes.
Everyone is so different. There is no perfect way to do it.
No.
And there is no reason why you can't keep sharing. No matter, like, with Tobin, we did not see him breathe necessarily. We did not know him fully. We got about 48 hours in the hospital. And to contain 48 hours of a lifetime in a lifetime is something impossible. So there's no perfect way. We did also have a beautiful photographer come in and take pictures for us. Beautiful. And there's photos on my phone from a nurse that just grabbed it randomly and took pictures of Tobin without me, like with us kind of, and yeah. Some without us. And I look back on those pictures, and those pictures have never been shared because they're hard. They're so hard. They're hard to look at. But I'll always keep them too, because they're ours.
Yeah.
And that's all that we have. Yeah. It's just pictures. And we have footprints and such. And I did keep his last ultrasound because I was like, I actually found it shortly after his funeral. And I was like, what's this? And it was his ultrasound, his very last one. And so I was like, okay, I'm never throwing this away because that's never. It's so perfect. Yeah.
Wow. I was going to say something about, you know, how you said that you were looking for, oh, that's so cool that they had this testimony. Not cool that they went through something hard, but cool that that God brought them through it. And I was just thinking that, like, you had a solid faith, but you said that your husband wasn't 100% on board, right?
Like, he
at
was
at that time. Like he was going, but he didn't have, like, a die hard faith.
Right. So
okay.
He grew up in the church. He did also. But at the time, like, we were just first married and we were trying to figure out a good church to go to and all these things. And that's hard. Like, starting out your marriage and not being, like, the same denomination, that's a whole nother episode.
Oh, girl. Yeah. I feel that me and my husband are not the same. So I get it. I get
it's
it.
Hard. But we both went to church. Like, it was, all right, we're going to go to church. We enjoyed it for a short time. And then we're like, well, this doesn't really flow with us. Like, it doesn't meet our needs. It was a bit too, I came from very traditional, real traditional. Okay. And he came kind of from the opposite. So it was kind of funny to meet in the middle. Well, yeah. We went way traditional afterwards, which was so fun. Yeah. But yeah, that was hard too, because like, we let some people in to a really raw situation, and looking back now, I was like, oh, since we did that, I don't like that very much, but that was the Lord's plan and only his.
Yeah. I guess so, what I was going to say was that, you know, well, I guess I was thinking that, you know, he was like, maybe not quite with you, but you had that faith, and for you to turn and say like, he's going to be okay. That didn't necessarily, like, unfortunately, that didn't mean he's going to be okay with you, but as a baby, he's saved, you know? And so you were able to share that with your husband, and I just think that's beautiful, because maybe your faith was able to bring him to God through seeing how you handle it through God.
Right. So I didn't believe he was going to be okay. That was the Lord putting those words in my mouth. I swear, because I sat in that OR terrified. Like, we had to make some awful decisions. Like, are you ready to let him go now? Like, there's no more making this work. So when that happened and I said he's okay, I literally believe the Lord made me feel that way, because I was so scared and so sad. And I I fought after that, like knowing that he's gonna be okay. But I already knew he was gonna be okay because he was gonna meet our Heavenly Father way sooner than I was. And as upsetting as that was, it was
Yeah.
also so beautiful to let him go and be like, you have him now. And let me,
Totally.
it's been a long time coming and processing and doing all that, like
Oh, yeah.
understanding. So yeah, I think the Lord just works in mysterious ways.
I would 100% agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of that's a lot of it.
Yeah. Okay, I had another question. Man, I should have wrote it down. Okay, so you gave where did you where did you give birth to
Sarah
him?
Bush.
Sarah Bush, okay, which obviously everybody knows is not a trauma hospital. And
Correct.
you would be considered, I mean, that was considered a like a trauma.
Yeah. Oh,
So when you
yeah.
say Carl, was Carl like do they
So
call in Carl or how does that work?
they helicoptered Carl in, and they were ready to
Ooh.
go. Like they had a whole team. Sadly, they were not able to do anything at that.
Right.
They got there about 20 minutes later, and it was kind of 22 minutes, 20 minutes too late.
Yeah.
So that was less than ideal. Like I was very angry with them. Like you can't make this helicopter go any faster.
Right.
So that was something too to walk through. It's like we there was no way we could have made it to Carl, obviously. We could not have made it anywhere farther than Sarah Bush without losing both of us.
Yes.
So also realizing, soaking that in and understanding that Sarah Bush will never probably have a NICU was something that scared me real
Yeah.
bad. And there was a lot of fear with Ezra, just his pregnancy, just being afraid that we wouldn't bring another one home because that's
Yeah.
always a fear. That's always sadly a fear, no matter if you have a diagnosis or not. You know what I mean? So it's
There's
just
that thing that like what you said, like how God intertwines joy and fear so much. I mean, the emotions you felt probably finding out you're pregnant was like, you're so happy, but oh my God, Lord, don't make me go through this again, you know?
yeah, and I think that's with even with our next baby, like,
Yes.
but
Yes.
to know that they're already the Lord's and they are not ours. They are not. They're ours earthly for a little while, but they're not ours at all. Like, I mean, it's just such a, and that's something too that's difficult to get your mind around. Somebody recently said, like, the Lord knows the number of your child's days. And I was like, oh, wait. So him missing Christmas, the Lord's not surprised by that. He already knew, like, I have his story for a better purpose. Now, does that make me feel better? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Because my story for him would have been totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had mentioned before I started recording that. So what are you doing to tell his story? Like what or how are you using this to be your testimony, maybe, is what I'm trying to say. Like,
Oh goodness.
are you taking this, like, I mean, the fact that you're talking to me about it for a bunch of strangers to listen to, I mean, that has to mean that you're using this experience to do something. So I guess, is that a weird question? Is that a hard question?
No,
Okay.
so well, I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't, but I don't want moms to walk alone. This is not fair for a mother to walk this path alone, no matter how old they are. I don't have experience with an older child, obviously. So I don't know, but I know the deepest, darkest days that are god awful. And you want someone to sit down and just listen to you and be like, I have no answers, but let me listen to you talk about your son. Let me know what your favorite features were. Did he have hair? What did he look like? Who do you think that he looks like? Does he look like John Moses? Does he look like Rosalie? Who do you think he looks like to you? And even now, 4 years later, I wish people would be like, let me acknowledge him for you. Let me, like, when his birthday rolls around, like, let me tell you how hard this is. We had vacation Bible school one summer during his birthday, and I showed up, and like everybody was a little shocked. And this was our newer church, newer to us church. And they were all a little shocked, and they all wrote beautiful cards for me. And they snuck them in my van, which was really sweet because I was like, you know, I didn't want to show up, but it was either that or stay in my little hobbit hole all day long. And just showing up for other moms is such a beautiful thing. And I don't want people to feel like they walk alone.
Well, I feel like you're doing the right thing because someone's going to listen to this podcast and know that they're not the only ones that have dealt with such a tragic thing. So what you're saying also, like, probably the best thing to do for a mother or like for a family who has lost a baby is to listen and to ask questions about their baby.
Oh, yes. Even like, even if you know that it's awkward and that it's uncomfortable and you're like, oh, I don't want to listen to that. Listen anyway, because by gosh, they had to walk through it. So the least you can do is listen.
I guess some people might just be nervous 'cause like they don't want, you know, to bring it up if they're not necessarily sad about it in the moment. But I feel like, are you ever not sad about it, you know? I don't think that's a, there's a moment where you're not sad about it.
And even
So,
if they seem happy and joyful, remember that like they have to show up for something. Like they have to show up for their other kids. They have to show up for their husband. They have to show up for work. Like just know that somewhere deep down they are sad. They are, you know, like walking through such a hard season of that grief. That you should just be there for them anyway. Like, no matter how happy they may look, how awkward it may be, because I really wish somebody would have just sat down and said, here's a coffee. You talk till your hearts are desired, and then you just let me know when you need to do it again.
Well, why don't you tell us a little about his features? Like what did you think he looked like? And you know, what was your favorite feature? Like the questions that you just asked, said to ask, like, why don't you let us know? We'd love
Oh goodness.
to listen.
I remember being very bitter that Rosalie did not have any hair. Well, Tobin was born and he had a whole head full of dark hair, and I was ticked. I was so mad. I was like, this is so unfair that I don't get to take this baby home and he's got hair. I don't know. He just was itty bitty. And I was like, oh, an itty bitty boy. Like, and growing up with all sisters, my dad was ecstatic to have a boy.
I would
Like, a
grant
boy,
him that.
what in the world? So
He's like,
I
I've been
think
waiting forever.
yes, they had it, bless their hearts. Yes. But he enjoyed having all of us girls, and it was such so much fun growing up. But I don't know. Like, he was just so bitty and so beautifully made. Like, I'm always amazed at every baby, but he was just almost, obviously he was our son, so he was perfect to us, but like it was like he was literally perfect. I don't know, I was in awe that such a perfect baby, like, you know, I don't know. I was really mad about the hair. He was so early that I couldn't really tell who he would look like. So that was hard too. Like, just if he would have been a couple more weeks, maybe, like, you know. And I look at his pictures and then I look at our kids, and I'm like, oh man, who does he look like? Who do I think he looks like? And I don't know. And that's the hard part too, is, you don't know. But
I
he was
mean,
just
even when I had Ella, like, even like, I'm sure you might feel this way with your other kids, but I was like, I don't see me or my husband in this baby at
Yeah.
all. You look like now, I mean, she's a spitting image of her father, but
Right.
at first I was like, wow, you look like your own little person, like.
Yeah. And it was so, I don't know, he was just little and perfect, and I was so bitter that I didn't get to bring that baby home.
Yeah, I mean, as you, I feel like, is a normal, very normal emotion to have, angry and bitter, and a lot of those emotions, would have been really easy to just put on, like, God, like, why me type thing, like, why us? Why did you do this to us? And I feel like you already even said, like, how marriages have fallen apart because of a loss of a child, or and it's just like the fact that you were, you stood strong in your faith and in your marriage and for your children is very admirable and honorable. And
But
yeah.
there was always a small season of like falling apart. And, but I think that's normal for anyone walking through grief, no matter how the person was, how close you were to them. Like, just a matter of waves, just lots of waves of like, are we really going to make it? Are we not going to make it? Like, what does this look like from here? And that's,
Every hour is probably different,
yeah.
like
And
down
that's
to the
something,
hour.
yes. That's something too that we have to remember is like we have walked through a greater loss than some people that have been married 25, 35 years, and like, and everybody's heart is different. So, and everybody's grief is different. So who knows? Maybe they do. Maybe they have walked through something. But ours is just a little bit harder than some people's.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so, for sure. I mean, I literally can't. You can't ever imagine. You can't. You just can't. You can't. I would never be able to imagine the grief and the pain that you guys all feel, And I think that seeing my cousin go through something, some losing a child similarly, and seeing how she's taken each day and has talked, not never stopped talking about him, and including him in everything, which I think is wonderful. Like, if someone asks her how many kids she has, she'll say three.
That's a hard
And
question too.
that's hard. I mean, I think that's up to you what you want to say. So, and that just matters, like, if it's something you want to open up to that person about too, Like,
And
that's huge.
I'm really bad about awkwardly being like, yeah, so we got four, one's in heaven, and let me tell you a story. Like, just really like low key, like I want everyone to know. And it's kind of uncomfortable, I think, sometimes for my husband and my family, because they're like, maybe you should keep some of that to yourself. And I'm like, but no, I don't want to. Like,
Yeah,
there's
I want to share about him. I want him to be included when we go in outings that I do have four. Like, I want people, like, I keep doing it, girl. It might make them feel a little awkward, but it's worth it if it's gonna, just fill your heart up a little bit.
most definitely.
Oh my goodness. Can't believe I made it through this conversation without dropping a tear. But I've welled up my eyes really good a few times. But wow. Is there anything else that you want to share before I think about some more questions maybe I have for you?
I don't think so. I
Oh,
don't.
so you had said that you wrote like a little article for a website. Okay, cool. You'll have to share that with us so I can share it on my page. How was that writing it out?
Oh my goodness, it was beautiful. It took me, because in January they asked, and it had to be done like by March. And like it was so hard. Maybe it was February, I don't remember, but it was early in the year. It was hard because to rewalk through all those emotions. Like, this feels
Yeah.
easy tonight. This feels great and easy this evening. I'm not
And
sure why, probably because I prayed about it real hard.
also, you didn't go into super deep details, either. You kept it pretty, I mean, it was deep, but like not, you could have went into more details, and so
Oh
that could
yeah.
have also been, but anyways,
Yeah.
continue.
So it's done beautifully. Like 135 people had read it last time I checked.
Wow.
And it was a hard article to write. But once again, I don't want people to walk this alone because it's
Yeah.
hard enough just figuring things out and understanding and just drawing people closer to Jesus, because really that's the only anchor you have during that hard
Yeah.
time. Like, that's literally the only reason, seriously, by God's grace, we had made it out of that hard season. Maybe with a therapist, definitely saw one of those.
Yeah.
Highly recommend, just because it's easy to throw your husband, like, throw your emotions at your husband and be like, this is what I'm walking through. Well, he's already carrying his own.
Yeah.
So that was easy. Like, that was something that we did. But yes, the website, beautifully done. I just think that no one should walk it alone. So the
Yeah.
more we can share, and the more that people are like, hey, what is placenta previa? Like, I'm walking through that now. Like, there's been so many like that have this issue, and then they lose their baby and they're like, but there's no answer to why that happens exactly. Why, like, why does it rupture? Why does it abrupt? Whatever you call it. And I think that's hard. And so there's just more than one of us. And that's awful. That's so
Yeah.
sad. But yeah, the website's done well. And it's through a lovely girl out of Pena. And she, like, they took articles from people. Like, they're like, hey, write something and we'll pick you, and kind of thing. So that was overwhelmingly fun. And when they posted it to the blog, I wept in the biggest
Yeah.
ways because I was like,
Yeah.
oh my goodness, there it is in writing. Like, it's legitimate. People will actually read it. And I don't do it to feel like for people to feel sorry for us, because that's not my
Oh,
intentions.
no.
Like, yeah, you can feel sorry for us, but there has been so much beauty in it that I no longer like play the card. Well, we've just got three here, not four. You know, like, just there's no playing of that card anymore. Because we have been beyond blessed in ways that I could never have imagined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, by being able to post his, to post your story and his story too, you're like honoring his memory, and now you're honoring it every time you read it, and then other people will know about your son, and that's really awesome. That's really awesome. I feel like that, if anything, God forbid, if I were ever to walk in that way, that's the first thing I would think of to do, is to just, how am I gonna, oh my gosh, sorry, how am I gonna how am I going to honor my son today? How am I gonna honor my daughter today? And so that's really, it's really, goodness sakes, that's really awesome that you're willing to talk about it too, because it's really not easy for you, I'm sure.
No,
And so it's
and
really awesome.
it's gotten easier. It's gotten a little bit easier. And one day, like, I'll sit everybody in my family down and be like, this is how I felt. This is because that's important too. Like, don't just tell the public, which I'm really bad about. what you think, but also, like, tell that person that you've been dying to tell. Sit those people down that's your family and be like, you know what? You people walk through this too. Tell me what you think. Tell me how you felt. Tell me, like, did you see the Lord in this? Because there's probably parts that I'm missing that I'm like, oh man, so what is that? What does that look like for you? What does that mean for you? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That would be, because not, you know, that's kind of a big thing too of you to like ask someone else how they felt during this, or was that just maybe looking to see if they also saw God when you saw God too? Like,
yeah,
kind of like
just like
validating that.
Yeah. Yeah. To see like where the Lord, like where has the Lord showed up for you in that season? Like, because not only were we walking through that, people were walking through losing a grandson, a nephew, like what, my family was able to come afterwards. Nobody was able, like they broke all the rules for us, which was also another God thing, that we were able to have family there. Not all the family was able to be there. And I know some people just, you know, like there was only a timely manner that people could get there. And I think sometimes that's hard. We never brought our daughter to the hospital, which was also something hard, like that she would never know that season of life.
Yeah.
So there was just so much that was beautifully orchestrated too. In that.
That's really cool that you were able to have people come to the hospital to...
Yeah, because during COVID, nobody was allowed to be anywhere, and they broke all the rules. They let as many people in as we wanted, and they were so gracious to do that, because I know that was not what they were supposed to be doing. So that was something so beautiful. My husband has an aunt that has lost a child, and so she has been our right-hand woman kind of person, just walking along the side of us. And I remember her coming to the hospital and just wanting to hold him. We were able to have what is called a cuddle cot. Our local hospital is so beautifully blessed to have that. That allows baby to stay in the room with you. Back long time ago, baby was not allowed to stay in the room with you at all. You were to say goodbye and see you later. And so that was a gift also. Also real sad too, like his body was just cold. That's just not what you want postpartum. That's not what you, and everything that comes with postpartum happens whether you take that baby home or not.
And your so milk and just, everything coming in, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's hard because you're like, well, there's nothing. So that was pretty impossible.
I think that was really nice of you to share those moments with other people of your family. Like, I don't know if I would have been that big of a person to like let other people hold my son. I think that's really great of you, and that to look at it that way of like they also lost somebody. I think that's really awesome of you as a mom to share that moment, because I don't know, like that's really great of you to share that moment to let someone else hold your baby who you don't get to bring home. Like that's amazing. Like blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever heard that? Has anyone ever said that? Like, is that weird that I think that way, or?
No, I mean, I think everybody thinks differently of this, of our story. Like, everybody's like, well, I would have done that differently. And I'm like, well, that's great for you. I don't know why we did that. It was like all of a sudden, but I think we didn't want to do it alone. Like, we did not want to sit in a hospital room and be alone. And I know I invited some close family, and they're like, we just physically cannot do it. We want to make sure you're okay, But we cannot come into that hospital room. And I was fine with that because I wanted them to be like guard their heart and their minds and like that because it was not pretty. Like he, it was really hard. Even to be like, oh yeah, that's okay. Whenever I was really screaming in my mind, no, you need to come and be with me. But then I had to understand and let them protect themselves and be like, no, our minds cannot wrap around this right now. Like, even in the 48 hours that we were there, they're like, we can't do it. We just don't have the emotional capacity to do so.
So I mean, that would also be you got to share him with people that loved you and that loved him.
Right, exactly.
That makes sense. I see it now.
So we did that. There was nothing on our door to say like, hey, don't say congratulations or anything, which I would recommend any hospital or every hospital do that because we were getting congratulated all the time. Like dinner was I didn't eat much while we were there. I remember that. But they were like, congratulations, and I'm like, there's nothing on the door. Like we can't put like a white rose, a flower, we can't do like anything. Just say like, don't say congratulations. Like, have a nurse stand at the door. Like, don't say congratulations.
Wow, that ooh.
That was less than ideal.
Yeah. I would say so. Dang. You would think that they would be on top of that.
Yeah, you would think. But we had lots of congratulations, which is really hard. Also,
For
one of those
sure.
things that we put it under, do not say. We have a long list of those. So,
Well, yeah, what are other things that you besides asking for your son's clothes? Number top number one of the number ones next to congratulations. Terrible.
let's
Terrible.
see. Like, oh, you'll feel better eventually.
Okay.
Like, that's not. No, we're not going to feel better eventually. Thank you, though, for your lovely non-advice. What else?
I mean, you're like that hole in your heart will never be filled. It's
Right.
saved for him forever. Yeah.
What was another one that I was really irked by all the time, and I can't remember. So apparently it's not irking me tonight that bad. Like, oh, you'll forget and it'll be okay kind of thing. Like, you'll have more kids, don't worry. Like, glad you have one healthy at home. Like, just
Oh.
cringe-worthy that I'm like, okay, any normal person would be like, no, you can't say that. just
Just be
cringe-worthy.
grateful for the ones you have at home. That's
Yeah, that kind of
terrible.
like cringe-worthy nonsense, which yes, very thankful for Rosalie. Very thankful she was healthy and
Oh,
at home and
right.
but that does not give us the room to grieve what we don't have.
Right. So would something like, obviously somebody would say, I'm sorry for your loss. How do you feel about that?
That's not too bad. That's not bad because like what else are you supposed to say?
Exactly.
Something else, I not us, but like I've read from other people, like don't say, like let me know if you need anything. Just show up no matter what. Just like say, hey, I'm bringing you a coffee in 10 minutes. What else can I get for you? Even if it's not convenient for you, it's even more inconvenient for the person that's like, oh, okay, so you just want me to let you know when I need something. Like I
Never
never
gonna ask
want to be
for
a
it. Yeah.
burden then.
Right. I'm really terrible. I've asked someone like, just let me know what you need and I'm there. And like I mean that. I really do. Like if they said jump, I'll ask, okay, I'm jumping. But that's like I've learned very recently that that's not helpful. And it's really like made me open my eyes and be like, when I thought I was being there for a friend, and I really not that it's not nice to hear, but I was like, man, if I could have just did something, like instead of being scared about what to do, or bringing them pizza. They don't like pizza, or like something like that, just to do the nice thing and just say it's on your front porch. And so, I mean, recently I've helped out a friend, and I've just said, okay, we're bringing dinner over for the next week, and you're going to accept it. It'll be on your front porch at 5 o'clock, and it is what it is. And so that's one thing I don't think a lot of people realize, but because I was today years old when I learned that thing for me, for sure.
Yeah. And I think it's different for everyone. Like, obviously there are people I did not expect to show up on a daily basis. Like, but I do believe, like, no matter what, you can show up. Whether it's a coffee for mom, dad, maybe it's bubbles for sister. Maybe you take sister out for, you know, maybe you take the kid out for a couple hours. Yeah. Even if you're, I mean, not a complete stranger, but, like, you know, just that service, that servant heart is so important in that kind of season.
Yep. Amazing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
Oh, I think I've talked long enough.
Never. I am so very thankful that Renee connected us to talk about this.
I was so thrilled and honored whenever she was like, she's got a podcast. And I was like, no way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little...
so fun.
It's a hobby, but I do feel like, you know, I started it to help just get information out from moms, for moms to, and then also the support group. Yeah, you don't have to do it alone. And then there's like, it's just kind of fun to, like, you might know the people who are talking.
Yeah.
Like, how often do you know the person that's, like, personally that's talking on the podcast? I don't know anybody else that has it. You know, so it's like, it's really cool. Like, oh, I work with Emily. I'm really glad I got to listen to her. Or like, oh, Hannah, we see her at the library all the time. Wow, really cool to hear her story, you know? And anyway, but yeah, I'm super glad that you shared what you did. And I feel very honored that you are opening your heart to share these things. I feel like hopefully that's said enough to you that this is a privilege to be able to hear the story.
So good.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
And maybe when I launch the episode, and if we get like a lot of questions, we can always have you back on to answer questions even. Yeah. Or whatever, if either you have something else you'd like to share with the moms, that'd be awesome too. So
yeah.
All right. And maybe, well, thank you.
Yeah. You're and so maybe good. And maybe whenever I have more wisdom, we'll do this again.
Yeah, bring on the wisdom, girl.
I'm just a host,
you know. Somebody asked me, like, oh, do you do this podcast? Like, how many kids do you have? I said, oh, I only have one, but I'm not giving advice. I'm getting people on to give advice. I'm not the one giving advice. So just letting everybody else know that I'm a host. I'm asking the question, you know, but so yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Yes,
and I hope you have a great night.
You too. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Bye. Okay, see you later.